The second epistle of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 3. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So far the reading. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord. During this week following the Sunday called Sexagesima Sunday, the Christian Church has historically celebrated the gift of the Word of God to the Church. It is the Word of God alone which establishes the content of the faith, what is to be believed, and also creates and sustains faith in the hearts and minds of the faithful to claim that content as their very own. The Word of God gives birth to the Holy Christian Church. On Monday of this week, we heard those wonderful words from Isaiah chapter 55 about how the Word of God gives life. The Word goes forth from the mouth of God, and He promises that it will not return void and empty, but that it will accomplish what He wills it to accomplish. The account of the origin of all created things, which we heard here yesterday, shows us the creative power of the Word of God. God spoke, and it was, just as He said, and it was very good. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. So reads Psalm 33. The host of the heavens, the stars, were called into existence by the breath that comes from the mouth of God. Several weeks ago, a news story appeared in the public press from the world of astronomy. Astronomers had determined, through the use of the Hubble Space Telescope, that there are at least three times more stars out there in the universe than had previously been determined. Three times as many as previously thought. Every time a more sophisticated telescope allows scientists to see a bit farther into the vastness of space, what's the result? An announcement goes out that there are more galaxies out there, which had not been visible before, but which can be seen now, and each one contains thousands upon thousands of stars. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. God breathed, and a universe sprang into existence, the dimensions and the contents of which are so vast as to be utterly staggering to the human mind. Today's reading from 2 Timothy connects with the words from Psalm 33 in a very striking way. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is the way we usually hear 2 Timothy 3:16 rendered into English. St. Paul expressed the same thought in three words in the Greek language. He said, "Passa graphe theopneustos." All Scripture is God-breathed. This is how the Apostle explains the origin of Scripture. The Word of God, the Bible, had its origin not in the intellect, not in the will, not in the imagination of man, but in the will of God. And it came into existence in a manner which is analogous to the creation of the heavens and their contents. The Apostle is employing an allusion here to make his point regarding the origin of Scripture. He's using an expression, theopneustos, God-breathed, which is designed to call something to mind without stating the reference explicitly. And so that's what we mean by an allusion. By the way, this is for the benefit of all those in the Isaiah course who are going to be tested soon on things like literary allusions. Isaiah used them copiously. St. Paul is alluding to the creation of all things by the word and breath of God. And he is saying there is something like that going on in connection with God's giving his word to the church. God breathed out. God exhaled. And by that process, he gave his word among men. And so the apostle establishes for us the origin of the word of God, which we have in Holy Scripture. St. Peter expressed the same truth in these words, prophecy, that is the expression that he uses for the word of God. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Yes, human beings wrote down the words and collected them into a book, but they were moved to do so by the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. St. Paul's words to Timothy also make clear that God had a specific purpose in giving his word. The scriptures, he says, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Our human condition is such that we need salvation. We need the ultimate rescue. Without it, we stand helpless in the face of sin and death and the curse of the law and the power of the devil. This is the reality that we all must come to grips with. There is no ability within us that will allow us seriously to claim, I am going to overcome sin in my life. I am going to conquer death. The curse of the law does not apply to me because I can undo that curse and make it a blessing by my own efforts. I can stand up to the power of the devil. If some would really make such preposterous claims, that would merely underscore the depths of the problem in the first place. But this God-breathed scripture, says the apostle, is able to make you wise for salvation. And that wisdom, he says, is connected with faith in Jesus Christ. The scriptures reveal to us this unique being who brings together in the unity of his person the natures of God and man. He brought the power of God to bear on the problem of humankind. He bore our sin and the curse of the law. He overcame death and destroyed the works of the devil. And by showing us these things and bringing the benefits of all that he has done to us, the scriptures make us wise for salvation. And so we celebrate this truth that we have God-breathed scriptures which are able to make us wise for salvation. Now, it's no secret that this teaching has largely been abandoned and even ridiculed under the influence of rationalism, not only by those outside of church connections, but also now within large segments of what goes by the name of Christianity today. The very notion that God could and actually did breathe into human writers thoughts and words in such a way that what they wrote really is the word of God is dismissed as something irrational and impossible for modern people to believe. But by the grace of God, we still gather here in this sacred space around this word, which we acknowledge to be the word of God, not in some modernistic, watered-down sense, but in the sense that the apostle teaches us here. It is the word of God because it is breathed forth by God himself. And in this word, we have revelation from God. It has the authority to determine for us what is to be taught and believed. It has the clarity which enables us to see the problem of our fallen human condition and then also to see the salvation which God provides through the person and work of Jesus of Nazareth. And it has the power which enables us to believe and make that salvation our very own. Those who stand before you here in this sacred space to preach the Word of God do so on the basis of what the Apostle shows us here. We have an inspired Word from God to proclaim, and it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, and this teaching can rightly be called divine teaching because it comes from God. And so we go about the work planting this Word of God day in and day out, trusting the promise of God that it will not be in vain or useless, but that His Word will accomplish what He wills. Its creative power will instill faith and preserve it in the hearts and minds of those who gather here. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Blessed are they who hear the Word of God and keep it.